Good morning. I would like to bid you a hearty welcome to this morning's worship service. My name is Jeff Hildebrand, and it's certainly a joy to be here, and I want to thank you all for coming this morning. If we have guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well. I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, where it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you, all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Let's unite for an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning. Again, we are grateful and we are thankful, Father, that we can come before you this morning. And Lord, we just ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your leading and guiding. And Father, that this morning would be an honor and glory to you and you alone. Father, we also pray for those that could not attend this morning. So we ask that you would be with them in a special way. And Father, we know that some people are in hospitals or in care homes that, or maybe even in their own homes, that they cannot be here this morning. So we just ask, Father, that you would touch them with your Holy Spirit as well, that they would receive your word and be blessed. Lord, wherever the word is being preached in truth this morning, we ask that you bless those speakers and those that are receiving your word. We also ask, Father, that you would place a hedge of protection around this church and all that are here. Father, that we would be protected by your mighty hand, that Satan and his forces would be rebuked at every corner and would not interfere in this worship service. Father, we also want to thank you for this country that we live in. We thank you for your leading and guiding, and we just trust that you will inspire the leadership of our country and our nations, that they would follow the truth of your word. So as we look into your word this morning, we ask again that you would open our hearts and minds, that this morning would be a time of fellowship, a time of praise, and of rejoicing. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, we'll open with a couple of songs, please.
Ich danke dir, lieber Herr, in Nummer 365.
Ich dank dir, lieber Herr, dass du mich hast bewahrt in dieser Nachgefährte, darin ich lag so hart. Mit Finsternis umgangen, dazu in Grau. Durch dein Gitter, das bitte ich
246.
Thank you so much for that singing and that playing. So if you have your Bibles along this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. And in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So we know from the beginning of time, God has had his hand in all things. And we want to look at another few verses here in Genesis, and we want to go to verse 26. where it says this, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all over all the earth, and over all every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. What I really wanted to focus on this morning is very early on we're told about, in a sense, we're told about the Trinity. In verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us." One thing we need to understand is us is plural. In other words, it means more than one. And we're going to, I think we all, at least I hope we all understand that we have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us and leads us to all truth. And in the world that we live in today, we see that there are so many variations. We see that that happened at the beginning in the garden when Satan challenged Adam and Eve and they fell from the truth. Today, we as people, we continue to struggle with the truth. We fall from the truth. We are sometimes confused. And what we need to understand is the truth of the Holy Bible. We need to understand that it is the truth from the beginning to the end. And that's why I want to start this morning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Because we need to understand that the truth of the Word of God for us has always started in the beginning. And it will end when God is going to send his Son Jesus Christ to take over, and the church at some point will be raptured. And then we know, if we read the book of Revelation, of the things that will come to pass. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but I do want to talk about the superiority of Christ. And we have to understand who Jesus Christ truly is. So let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to beginning at verse 4. And it gives us a little indication of who Jesus Christ really is. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. "Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time," so this is God, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." We see the relationship of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a very close relationship. So we need to understand that as we move forward in our lives. Verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten of the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." So who is worthy of worship? It's Jesus Christ and God our Father. "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So we see Jesus Christ is superior even to the angels. God created the angels, and he created us as man and woman. When we go back to verse 10, it talks about in the beginning, he laid the foundations of the earth. And we need to read the book of Genesis, and we find that out, that this exact scripture is exactly how it happened. Jesus Christ had his hand in the creation, and he has his hand upon us today. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is so important. And in the world today, we see twisted ideas. We see twisted teachings. We need to understand and know the truth of God's word. How do we obtain this? How do we understand this? The only way that we can really grasp all of this is first, by faith in God. Remember, as believers, we have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit who leads us to all truth. And we need to be in the Word. We need to understand the significance and the importance of reading God's Word daily. It's so important for our spiritual life and our spiritual walk. As long as we are in this world, we are in a sense a part of the world, but we need to make sure that we are being a light to the world. Again, we think about some of the teachings that have come and that have gone, and there's so many teachings out there today that have muddied the waters. There's teachings out there today that go against Scripture, and we have teachers that are professing this to be the truth, but if it goes against the Scriptures, we have to understand and be aware that it is a false teacher and a false teaching. We need to be able to discern. We are in a very unique time in history. So be careful of what we listen to outside of the Holy Scriptures. Be careful of what we partake of. I want to turn to Romans chapter 8. And when we look at Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start at verse 15. So in Romans chapter 8, it says this, verse 15, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that's what we want to show the world, who we are that we are the children of God. Verse 17 goes on to say this. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So as we are in this world, we know that we're going to face difficulties and challenges. That will never, ever change. But what do we do in those moments can sometimes make such a big difference to someone around us. There's a interesting story that I heard of a man who was not a godly man, and he decided he wanted to change his life. He was in a very bad accident, and during that time he had a vision. And his goal then was to be, after that, his goal became to become a priest. And so it was something that changed him forever. And his story concluded something like this. He was a very athletic person and very healthy, but a very rare disease came upon this man. And he started to lose strength in his muscles and in his bone structure. And I can't recall the name of this disease, but there is no cure for it. So through that, he questioned God, why? But then he realized something. Through these challenges, that he could let his light shine. And thus he did. And he professed his love for Christ until he passed away. He passed away when he was 50 years old. His parents were self-proclaimed atheists. In other words, they did not believe in God. They did not believe that God existed. So you can see his upbringing was far removed from everything that we understand to be spiritual. And yet God touched this man. And after his parents saw the transition of this man, they transitioned from an atheist couple to someone that loved the Lord. We see too often in our culture that people are transitioning from their first love, which is Jesus Christ, and the book of Revelation talks about that. And they transition away from Christ. I want to encourage us not to be those people. Let's make sure we are on the right path. And the only way we can stay on that path is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, having fellowship with other believers. My hope and prayer is that the Holy Spirit will prick all of our hearts and that we will stand firm in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the second half of this service, we're going to look at some different aspects of what worldly things look like and how we can overcome these things. But before we do that, I want to give us an opportunity for some time in prayer. Now, I didn't bring the bulletin with me, but there was a bunch of prayer requests in the back. I would ask that you consider those prayer requests this morning as we kneel. And if you have whatever's on your heart, just bring it to the Lord. And bring it to him in faith. So with that, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
Take the red book and turn to number 272. Oh, my comrades, see the single. Can we stand?
Thank you again for that singing and that playing. You know, in that song, it talks about our courage almost gone. And I wonder how often we feel like we don't have anything left. But God is so good and so merciful that He strengthens and carries us when we need it the most. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. I'd like to read the first 10 verses and just give you a little comparison of what happened in the beginning versus what should be happening. So 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So this is a description of the apostles seeing Jesus, knowing Jesus, touching Jesus, and having been with him. That's the way I understand it. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which ye have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And I hope that's where all of us are at. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to look at this verse very closely. If we walk in the light, as he, which is meaning Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And is that happening? Or do we have true fellowship with one another? And then it goes on to say, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a promise we are given here. Now in verse 8 it goes on to say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are born sinners. We have sin in our lives. We need to understand that truth. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now I want to run this passage of scripture as a comparison to what happened in Genesis. Now, I'm not going to go back to Genesis, but what happened in Genesis? We see that the serpent tricked or beguiled Eve. And as she was talking with God, she said, well, the serpent fooled me or tricked me. And Adam said, well, my wife that you gave me gave this fruit and I ate of it. Adam and Eve never took responsibility. In other words, they did not confess their sin towards God. Here, I believe this is very important for us to understand that we need to confess our sins before God. We have to do this. We have to bring them to the Father. And you know, when we talk about having Holy Communion and making things right with one another, what does that mean? That to me, it's very simple. If I have wronged someone, I am supposed to make that right. Just like when I've done something against God, I need to make that right. I think that's so important. Let's remember to be doing these things. It is biblical that we confess our sins. We cannot hide anything from God. Do not be fooled. You cannot hide anything. You cannot even hide thoughts that you have in your head from God. He knows them. So when something like that happens and you have this thought, we need to confess to God. And I would encourage you to do that as quickly as you come to realize that you have sinned. So part of our confessing is understanding how important our relationship is with God and that we want to be in a right relationship. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to start at verse 9. I just want to touch on three verses here. So beginning at verse 9 in chapter 6, it says this: Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? We need to understand that. Be not deceived. Now it's going to go list a whole bunch of things. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So it lists a whole bunch of things that we must avoid. And if we do any of these things, we need to seek God's forgiveness. And look what happened in verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Now look what has happened once we've accepted Christ. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. When we look at those two words, being sanctified and justified, the best way for me to describe that so that I understand it is, even though I am born a sinner, the blood of Christ has redeemed me, and he's redeemed all those that believe in Jesus Christ, so that we can stand before the Father. And when we stand before Almighty God, God will look upon us and say, I know who you are, because you were sanctified and you were justified by my Son. But part of that process is making sure that we are right with God in the beginning. So in the beginning of our Christian walk, what's the thing that we teach? What has to happen? You need to repent of your sin. Part of repentance is admitting who you are before God. And so as we move forward in our walk with God, it goes on to tell us, as I read earlier in 1 John, that we need to confess our sins. That doesn't mean we just, at baptism, we confess our sins. We continue to confess the things that we have done wrong. And then again, verse 11 just reassures us that we are sanctified and justified before the Father. So that's where we want to go. That's how we let our light shine. That is so important for us to understand and grasp. I want to turn back to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. And I want to start at verse 13. So 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, it says, Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So we have to identify with this. Now look what verse 15 teaches us. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love of God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us first. We look at this passage of Scripture, and to me, the way I understand this passage is confession is so important, that we confess our love for Jesus. What I want to encourage us with this morning is make sure that we're doing that in our daily lifestyle. We need to confess Jesus wherever we're going. It's a beautiful thing when you see people standing firm in their faith. Remember we just sang that song, and you know, our courage sometimes gets a little weak and it's hard. Have you ever experienced a moment in your life when another believer, a fellow believer, kind of rises up and takes a stand and you get to see that? What does that do for your own spirit? Doesn't it just give you a lift you up and give you courage? We need to support one another. The outside world, the non-believing world, will not support you and I. So how important is a body of believers? How important is the Church of Jesus Christ? And as we hear and as we see so many things going on in the world, we are in such a unique time in history. Today is the day that we need to make sure that we stand. We can try to pull the Adam and Eve move and blame people for our situations in life, but really, that's not getting us where we need to get to. Never has, and never will. Stop blaming other people. You know, I heard a pastor a while back that was he made a very interesting comment. And he was talking about raising their children. And their children are adults now. And this pastor said it this kind of this way. One of their children had made a comment, "Well, this is what you showed us, or this is what you taught us." And this dad, he says to his child, he said, "Your mother and I were pretty good parents. But now you're this old," however old that was, maybe it was 20 or 25 years old, "you are accountable. You can't go and blame other people." And that's one thing society is teaching us, is that it's okay to blame somebody else for our struggles and our sins. No, they're ours. We need to bring them to God, and we need to take care of that. I could, you know, another way of putting this is, we can look at our forefathers. So in other words, I could look at what my parents taught me, and I could then say, well, they learned from their parents, and their parents looked to their parents for guidance. we can look at the generations and we can point blame to every single generation if we want to. That's not getting us anywhere, is it? Sometimes when I sit down with people that are going through some difficulties, and sometimes they're difficult things. I had a young man come visit me a while back, and his problem was pornography. And we sat down together, and I found it kind of refreshing to have a discussion. And it started something like this. He says, I have a problem. I am doing this. I am sinning against God. And as I sat there and listened to this young fella, I in a way admired what he was saying. No, that's wrong. I admired what he was saying. Because what he was saying is, I have a problem. I'm sinning. He didn't blame mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. He didn't blame his friends, his co-workers. He took that responsibility on himself. We sat together for a couple of hours going through this. And so his confession, I don't think he maybe realized it, but as he was confessing these things, he was bringing his sin out in the open. And by the end of the discussion, I told them, I said, you told me these things, but who are you really telling that you were going through all this? And he says, what do you mean? I said, you come here to ask for help because you've had this problem. I'm listening to you. I'm just your sounding board. Who is going to help you through this? And he looked at me and he says, well, I guess God will help me through this. And I said, exactly. So bring it to him. You've opened up to me. But God can heal you and save you. So when we look at these things in our lives, and that's just one thing that we deal with in everyday life, don't we? There's many other things. There's many, many other things. My encouragement is that we bring them to our Heavenly Father so that we are sanctified and justified, so that when we stand before Him, He will welcome us to His home. And that's in heaven. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 5. So here's our encouragement that we're given. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let's try to think like Christ. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him, and I want to point on a few key words here, the form of a servant. So servant, he had a servant attitude. If our mind is supposed to be like Christ, we should have a servant attitude. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of as a man, he humbled himself. So we need to be a humble servant. Okay? And became obedient unto death, even the death of cross. We need to be obedient. Obedient to whom? To God the Father, not the world. Be obedient to God the Father. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. I started this second half, the portion about confessing our sins. Verse 11 says this, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So often when we talk about confession, confessing our sins, we look at it as we have to do exactly that. Confess our sins before God, and we need to. Don't misunderstand. But there is also a good confession, that we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there are two types of confession that I wanted to address today. Yes, it's very important for us to confess our sins. We need to confess them before God, our Father, and we need to confess them towards each other when we have wronged one another. And sometimes that's very hard, isn't it? How many of you have raised small children? How many of you have had children? How many of you were a child? Yeah, we were all children at some point. Who taught you how to lie? Did mom teach you how to lie, or dad teach you to lie? How quickly did we learn to lie? Can any of us remember the first time we might have lied, how old we were? We were probably under 5. And we began to lie. The world is full of lies. And it doesn't stop. But we have to confess our sin. We have to confess our sin to God. Remember, a liar does not get to heaven. That's what we read earlier. There's a whole bunch of other things. Let's make sure we confess our sin. Remember in verse 11 that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And as we see things kind of spinning, and we sometimes say it's all out of control, it's not out of control. God has everything in order. Things are happening exactly the way He said they would happen. And sometimes it's hard to look at it and see it happening. But there's also some very beautiful things happening. When we look at the world and we see the struggles and the troubles, but we also see the beauty of people coming to Christ. And when we get to witness that, how much joy does that bring to our hearts? So when we see someone that recognizes that Jesus Christ is Lord, then let's celebrate with them and encourage them. And if there's anyone here today that hasn't made that decision for Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to do that today. Maybe you've drifted off in your walk. Maybe you've kind of fallen away from God. I want to encourage you to come back, because He wants you in heaven. He wants me in heaven. He wants us all to be there. So let's be right with God. And let's make amends with each other. And give the glory to our Heavenly Father, because He is so merciful to us. So let's praise Him and thank Him. With that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us a very clear direction on what we need to do, and we need to confess who we are before you. We can look at the Ten Commandments and we can say, well, I have never done this, I've never done that. But we know that we have sinned. We know that. And Father, we just bring our sin to you and we ask you to forgive. Forgive us for the things that we are doing wrong. Help us to overcome them. And Father, if there's bitterness in the church, in the family unit, at the workplace, let us look for a renewing and a refreshing, and that we would forgive each other, and that we would be strengthened and motivated to serve you, to honor you and glorify you. And Father, then we as your people, we will truly be blessed, and we will have a joy in our hearts and our souls. We thank you for the awesome power that you have. We thank you for the conversion of people that are coming forward to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, we thank you for your word, which is the truth. Father, I thank you for bringing everyone here this morning that could attend. And may the songs we have sung and the words that have been spoken, may they all be to your honor and your glory so that we, your people, can be blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I want to give you another opportunity for some time in prayer. So again, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Once again, please take your red books and turn to page 553. Take thou my hand, O Father. Permit thy child to linger
eternally.
Good morning. Just have one announcement this morning. It's concerning our annual spring meeting. It'll be held next Saturday, March 9th, in Altona at 10 a.m. In the morning, there will be mission reports, and in the afternoon, we'll be discussing support for the private schools. Lunch will be provided, and I'd encourage you to attend if possible. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And as far as my message goes this morning, I've come to the conclusion of the message, and I want to thank you for coming this morning. May God richly bless you. Let's bow for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may now go with the peace of the Lord.